Scripture is from the letter to the Colossians from Paul. It is the third chapter. It's on the back of your bulletin. I invite you to turn to the back of the bulletin and read along with me as we read. And I'm going to ask you to kind of keep your bulletin handy because we're going to be looking at it over and over again, if you will. You don't have to, but some of you have your Bible and you want to turn in your Bible to the third chapter of Colossians, and that's fine too. Colossians 3, beginning with verse 1, reading through verse 11. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. Another reading says, coming on those who are disobedient. That's a pretty good reading. You used to walk in these ways, in the life you once lived. But now you must also rid yourself of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. And may the Lord add his blessing to our reading of his word and of our hearing of it. I don't think that takes a genius to reveal to you that the world of today, that is the world of Sunday, March the 12th, 2017, that in this world there are realistically and virtually everyone in everyone's experience barriers that do divide us. Politics, race, gender, that is a simple gender issues of male versus female, sex identity issues, economic status, age issues, language. I could go on and on with the number of things that divide us. And what better place than to come to a church dedicated to the Lordship of Christ to examine how submitting to the Lordship of Christ can, at least from you, remove those barriers. Barriers between us, between you and me, between you and anyone else, between me and others. All barriers create problems, including the major problem of anyone who believes that barriers are to their advantage and subsequently capitalizes on them, and it creates even more huge problems. The complete elimination of barriers is very difficult on a mere human level and is truly possible only on the divine level, with divine intervention, the intervention of Christ being allowed to be the one in control rather than self. The only way to truly solve the barrier problem is unconditional love. Well, technically, the closest we can humanly get is to call it unconditional love, but the accurate description that is only really understood by followers of the one true God is to call it what it is: the love of God. God's holy word, the Bible, tries to teach us this in multiple ways. And God patiently leads us along as we try to experience it through him. And we try to learn it more and more thoroughly. I'll give you my experience with the Bible. I've been studying and experiencing the divine truths of the Bible for many decades, and so I feel like I understand God's a godlike love better now than I ever have, but I'm very aware that I still have much to learn. A lot to learn from my reading and my study of the Bible, from everyday spiritual experiences, and from everyday interactions with devout Christian people. That is to say, with many of you here today and with other people outside this fellowship. And that all leads me to this. Christ came into the world to minister to the deepest problems that disturb our human hearts. He came to reveal the way His love, which is God's love, for all people. And may I just throw in a quick emphasis on the all at the end of that sentence. God's love for all people. All people. We turn to God's love maybe to help you if you would just look at your Bible text on the back of your bulletin. Stay with me on this. In this passage from a Holy Spirit-inspired letter written to the Colossian Christians, Paul is speaking to those believers and subsequently to all believers concerning their position, the Colossians, and our position in regards to personal relationships with Jesus Christ. Paul deals with a very painful problem that, or all kinds of problems that distress and divide people. And he starts this out with emphasizing our relationship to God from God's perspective. He's already pointed out to them that we died to sin through Christ. Actually, he pointed that out back in chapter 2 that you didn't read. But chapter 2, verse 20, he says, "You died with Christ to the elemental spiritual forces of this world." You died to those forces. And he also points out that we have been raised with Christ to new life. And that's there right in front of you, verse 1. "Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above where Christ is." And he goes even further with things that we're to know, or at least get to know through his instruction. Verse 4, where he stresses and he affirms that when Christ appears in his glory, we will also appear with him. Verse 4, "When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory." Because of these great spiritual realities, Paul encourages them, he encourages us, of course, also, to cooperate with Jesus as our Lord as we seek to daily live out our a unified kind of relationship with Christ. And with that kind of introduction as to what Christians should have as a basic understanding, Paul then provides spiritual encouragement in the form of some great essentials. Actually, great imperatives, great rules to live by. And I'm just going to call them God's rules. We're encouraged to focus our thoughts, maybe even deeper, our hearts, or just maybe you just say all of our being, our lives focused on Christ. This is Christ, who we know as the resurrected Christ. That's verse 1. Now, I want to do something here just briefly, and I want to just see how you feel this may help. So I'm not going to ask for raised hands or anything, but just kind of think about this, if you will. I have to tell you that I found that it helped me actually quite a bit. It did. The scripture text that you have printed on the back of your bulletin today, and actually almost always, is the NIV, the New International Version. And by count of Bible sales, that is, the sales of Bible in the last few years, maybe I should say currently, the NIV is now the most popular of all Bible translations. And that's one of the reasons that we use it. It's very accurate. It is translated from the closest to the original Hebrew language for the Old Testament and the most widely accepted as accurate Greek text for the New Testament. And the language level in English is approximately eighth grade. Well, that's considered really sort of high and somewhat complex level of English, but it's a language for most readers. However, in 1996, the International Bible Society published a new version of the NIV called the New International Reader's Version. It's not to replace the NIV, but it's an additional way of wording, with the language of it being not on the eighth grade level, but on the third grade level. It's a Bible text that's designed specifically for all readers, with at least a basic understanding of modern English, you know, children, other language speakers, etc. And even that one has had several revisions, with the latest being in 2014. It's always attempting to stay current with the everyday spoken English. There's now even a version of the NIRV. It's interesting, capital N, capital I, little r, capital V. That's the way it appears. It's now, they have one on the reading level of 4 to 7 years old. So they have different versions of this. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you a small number of comparative verses, the NIV compared to the NI Reader's Version, as we progress here. And I want to see what you think. So you'll have to keep your bulletin in front of you, because that shows you the one that is the NIV. A question I'd like you to answer for yourself is, does this more simple language of the Reader's Version help, or does it hinder a quick understanding of the verse? So here we go. Going back to the first point that I was making, verse 1, we're encouraged to focus our thoughts, our hearts, on Christ, whom we know as the resurrected Christ. So this is the NIV in your bulletin, verse 1. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Now this is the Reader's Version, the same verse. This is a simple third grade language construction. You have been raised up with Christ, so think about things that are in heaven. That's where Christ is. He is sitting at God's right hand. So what do you think? Well, I'm going to do that with a couple more verses, not a lot, but just a couple more. But for this point, you see, Paul has defined his purpose for being in terms of relating himself to Jesus Christ and letting Christ live in him. He has said that similarly to the Philippian Christians. In Philippians 1:21, he said, "For me to live is Christ." Well, secondly, beyond focusing on Christian living in, or Christ living in us, we're encouraged to focus our minds on Christ and things in heaven, as opposed to only thinking about our earthly life and about our earthly existence. Look at verse 2. Your bulletin is the regular NIV. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. And this is the Reader's Version of verse 2. Think about things that are in heaven. Don't think about things that are only on earth. Now, I would suspect that we all know ourselves well enough to know that every day we just naturally reflect on what's happening, you know, moment by moment. And thus we think about earthly things. What I believe Paul clearly means here is that as much as possible, and probably in growing ways, as we grow in Christ, we are to aim to see earthly things that go on around us from a spiritual perspective. Something like, how would Christ see this thing? How would Christ see this situation? And therefore, how am I, under his lordship, to attempt to see and to respond to it? Our affections, our dispositions, our will, our entire personalities are to be affected by our desire to let Jesus Christ have his way with us. Amen. Verse 4, we are encouraged to focus our hope, our vision of our blessed future on Christ and his provision for us. The NIV says this, When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. And the Reader's Version a bit more simply says, Christ is your life. When he appears again, you will also appear with him in heaven's glory. Well, that's the last I'm going to do that comparing and contrasting of the versions, but think about it. What do you think? Well, go back a second, if you will. I said that in verse 4, we are encouraged to focus our hope. When I say hope, I mean that is the biblical meaning here for hope. That is faith that what is promised will indeed occur. Not that other kind of hope that thinks along the lines of, well, I sure hope so. We'll just have to wait and see how it works out. Different kinds of hope altogether. Thus, our great hope, Christian hope, for the current life and current future, and then beyond Earth's time of our life, our hope is to be united with Christ. And thus, because they are also with the people of God. Not only now, but also in the glory of heaven throughout all of eternity. Thus, Paul encourages us to remove all barriers now, right away, to Christian fellowship, just as it is going to be when we get to heaven. He begins developing this from verse 5, and he goes all the way down to verse 17. Well, you have up to verse 11 in front of you, and I'll help you along with verses 12 through 17. Or if you have your Bible open, of course, you can go there along with us. So verses 5 and 6 tell us we are to destroy, we are to put to death all destructive impulses and drives. These are our own barriers to God and sometimes barriers between ourselves and others. I know I said I wasn't going to do this anymore, and this isn't exactly the same because I'm not going to read what you have there in front of you, but of course you can read it. Just once more, I'm going to read the Reader's Version of 5 and 6 because I think here you can see the real advantage of this for limited English readers, third grade at the maximum level for this version. I think I must be on the third grade because this one speaks to me. All right. Remember, this is where Paul begins to describe or to enumerate those things which create barriers. Barriers between ourselves and God. Barriers between ourselves and others. So look at your bullet. Look at the NIV there as I read verses 5 and 6. And remember, this is the NIRV, the Reader's Version. Verses 5 and 6. So, put to death anything that comes from sinful desires. Get rid of sexual sins and impure acts. Don't let your feelings get out of control. Remove from your life all evil desires. Stop wanting more and more. You might as well be worshiping statues of gods. God's anger is going to come because of those things. Well, after suggesting in verse 7 that we're going on, that all we have to do is just remember our past. And such stuff as that are in verse 7, the things that we used to do. He goes on then in verse 8 to enumerate more negative barriers. See, verse 8 says, we are to get rid of any disposition that is evil or mean or hurtful. Well, I hope and I believe probably evil and mean may be fading or maybe gone in our lives, but hurtful may challenge us just a bit. And Paul had no excuse for that. Verses 9 and 10 identify that since we have become a new person in Christ, we are to put away falsehoods and dishonesty from every area of our life. We are just to realize that all of those things he's listed that are things we might do in everyday life are real. And they are unacceptable barriers to any kind of loving relationship, a relationship with God, a relationship with our fellow man. And now in verse 11, the last one that you have printed before you, it gets to the barriers by groupings, negative discriminations. You know, it's good he got there and predicting the future, because the future problem that he's pointing out is now. I mean, we're experiencing it now. It's become our modern problem. Well, no, that's not what he's saying. See, Paul is speaking of his own time. Over 20 centuries ago, he's speaking of what's happening in his time. And it continues in our time. Perhaps it's time for us now to realize that the only solution to discrimination and the scope of our influence is the Spirit of Christ in us, even as Paul saw it for them way back when. Paul really begins this thought in establishing the identity that we are to have in verses 9 and 10, and ends it up with verse 11's first word, here. So just read it this way. You have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator, here. Right here. And what he means, it is here in what follows. The here. That is, none of the following discriminations. See, we're to recognize in Christ Jesus that there can be no destructive discrimination. So listen to this. In Christ, there can be no racial discrimination. Here, racial discrimination. Here, there cannot be Greek or Jew. In Christ, there can be no spiritual discrimination. Here, here. In Christ, there cannot be circumcised or uncircumcised. He says, in Christ, there can be no cultural discrimination. Here, there cannot be barbarian, Scythian. I just need to give you a little explanation there. In the Greek world, barbarian was a word of contempt for the uncultured. And Scythian was a synonym for savage. Neither one of those very, very nice words. There can't be any discrimination there either. In Christ, there can be no social or economic discrimination. Here, there cannot be slave or free. In Christ, here, the rich and the poor are on level ground. And although he didn't include it here, Paul also recognized the gender discrimination of his age. Have we solved this one? Galatians 3:28. I'm adding the unspoken here. Here, in Christ, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. All of these discriminatory practices Paul clearly identifies as routines of his day have hung on tenaciously for 2,000 years up to now. And we are called as ones in whom the Spirit of Christ actively lives to eliminate those barriers in our lives. And as ambassadors for Christ, and I would quote you there, 2 Corinthians 15:20, we are called to stand against those discriminatory barriers in all of our world. And how? How are we to go about doing this? How are we to go about doing this in our lives and in our influence out in the world? Well, Paul gives us guidance and help. And we are to continue to read, and we're to follow his counsel. So I'll just suggest to you that you go ahead and read Colossians 3:12-17, and you'll find out. No, I'm not going to leave you like that. Most of you don't have your Bible open, so I won't leave you there. Verses 12 through 14 tell us that we are to put on the tender graces of Jesus Christ that are associated with love and mercy. That's one of the ways we do this. He says, verses 12 through 14, you are God's chosen people. You are holy and dearly loved. So put on tender mercy and kindness, as if they were your clothes. Don't be proud. Be gentle and patient. Put up with one another. Forgive one another if you're holding something against someone. Forgive just as the Lord forgave you. And over all these good things, put on love. Love holds them all together perfectly as if they were one. Anybody think I was reading the NIV? No, I was reading the NIRV, the Reader's Version there. Well, going on to verse 15, Paul tells us the peace of Christ, which Jesus absolutely promised to us in John 14:27, is what we are to let rule in all of our relationships as thankful people. Verse 15, let the peace that Christ gives rule in your hearts as parts of one body. You were appointed to live in peace and be thankful. And then verse 16 continues the how-to. How to become barrier breakers with the things you can do together with like minds. Letting the word of Christ dwell in us richly to guide us and to instruct us again as thankful people. Verse 16, let the message about Christ live among you like rich treasure. Teach and correct one another wisely. Teach one another by singing psalms and hymns and songs from the Spirit. Sing to God with thanks in your heart. And then verse 17 sort of wraps it all together as to who we understand and acknowledge is our Master and Lord, and under whose name we name as our absolute authority. And once more, for good measure, Paul reminds us, he says it again, with thanksgiving to God the Father. So verse 17, do everything you say or do in the name of the Lord Jesus, always giving thanks to God the Father through Christ. Well, I can't speak for Paul, but if I could, I believe this is what he would want us to take away from this. Every day, every hour, we are to focus our lives, our minds, our hope in and on Jesus Christ as our Lord, as our Master. And as we do so, we have really the real possibility. We have the necessary help to eliminate the horrible scourge of discrimination, particularly from our own lives, and real help in affecting the moving away from these terrible discriminatory practices in our society. You know, those practices, racial, spiritual, cultural, social, economic, gender, those are major ones, and any number of minor ways that we see barriers being thrown up between ourselves because we don't have enough Christian love to overcome our past and or our whole bad societal ills. But we can have that love, unconditional, as is God's love, approaching what we will someday find and someday be in heaven. And the only way that we can is for us to allow and rejoice in Christ living in and through us. Christ has done as promised when he said he would be with us always. You remember that from the Great Commission, Matthew 28:20. In that reality, he wants to help us live the heavenly life even as we continue to live in the flesh of this earth. And the real need is for us to openly live a triumphant Christian life. You see, it was faith in Christ that established us in a loving relationship with him. And it is the blessed truth that obedience to him will bring spiritual satisfaction and abiding joy to our hearts and some new broken down barriers in the world. Okay, Milton.
Amen.
There you go. All right. All right.